have anything, amen. Take me to the King. Praise the Lord. We greet you today in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. It's good to be in God's house.
Amen.
Yes, I say it's good to be in God's house. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes. Yeah, yesterday I went, and I say that again, I say it's good to be in God's house because yesterday I went to the homegoing services of Harvey Hartley Jr., who is probably 1 year younger than me. And of course, of all the things that they said about him, one thing that stood out in my mind was that he was gone much too soon. So when I think of another opportunity to be in God's house, and it's not a funeral, not a homegoing service, amen. I say it's good to be in God's house, amen. Praise the Lord. So in each day, I don't take it for granted that God gives me another day. So when I get an opportunity to worship Him, amen, I don't mind. Praise the Lord. Thank our praise and worship team. Thank you. DJ, even at the last minute change, praise the Lord. Amen. God still works in us if we're willing.
Yes. Amen.
As a matter of fact, he says, if we're willing and able, we will enjoy the good of the land. Amen. Anybody willing and able, praise the Lord. That means you position yourself for the Lord to bless you real good.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we honor you and thank you today. Thank you for the King. We're honored to be in his presence, and we release faith even now, God, for you to speak in and to us for your glory. Thank you for this privilege, God. We honor you. Thank you even now for your word, that as it goes forth, we will glorify your name. We'll give you praise. We'll give you honor. And we thank you, God, that as we pause to celebrate what it means in this Advent season, that you will be glorified in all that is said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Many of us, when we are little, we don't have a whole lot of questions about Christmas. We just have a whole lot of wonder. But as we get older, some people have questions. Why Christmas, why all the Christmas traditions, why the tree and the ornaments and the nativity scenes, and why Christmas, and why, and today I want to talk about why gifts based on Matthew chapter 2 verses 1 through 12, and it reads this way. And Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We have seen his star as it arose, and we have come to worship him." And Herod was deeply disturbed by their question, as was all of Jerusalem. And he called a meeting of his leading priests and teachers of religious law. "Where did the prophet say the Messiah would be born?" he asked them. "In Bethlehem," they said, "for this is what the prophets wrote: O Bethlehem of Judah, you are not just a lowly village in Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod sent a private message to the wise men, asking them, "Come see him." At this meeting, he learned the exact time when they first saw the star. And then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way. Once again, the star appeared to them, guiding them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house where the child and his mother Mary were, and they fell down before him and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But when it was time for them to leave, they went home another way, because God had warned them in a dream not to return to heaven. Why gifts? Why gifts? I want to lift up, put special attention on verses 10 and 11, when it says, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house where the child and his mother Mary were, and they fell down before him and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In other words, why is it that we give gifts? First of all, we know that when we give gifts, it is mimicking or being like what God does. God is the giver, and he gave us that first gift being Jesus. And so we give gifts in honor of the birth of our Savior. We give our gifts to his kingdom work. We give our gifts to others to honor the type of love and appreciation that he has shown to us. The fact that he wants to be in relationship with you and I. And as a result, he gave us the gift, and his name is Jesus. Anybody glad that they have received the gift of Jesus? In other words, we know that on Christmas morning, kids are going to be tearing paper off of toys. Matter of fact, I got to a point that I stopped wrapping the toys. They just go, why buy all this paper for them to tear it off anyway? Amen. All they want to do is get to the toy and start playing. Amen. And so when we give gifts to kids, we imitate what God has done in our lives. We imitate what the wise men did when they first saw Jesus. They notice what they did when God saw the star again, and they saw it shining over the house or the place where Jesus was. And about this time, this is more than a year or two after Jesus was born. He was not still in that manger, but he was now in the house. He was on up in age, and these men who had got a word from God, they had saw God. And it didn't say that they were Jewish or whatever, but they were men from the east. But at least they had some kind of connection with God, so that God, they were willing to go and search for Jesus. You probably see the expression, wise men still seek him. Amen. Wise people still seek to be in the presence of God. So I want to look at three things that why we give gifts, why we are open to receiving gifts. First thing is that gifts express the value that we see, the value that God shows us that are in those that God has placed in our lives. Giving gifts express the value that you see in those that God has placed in your life. In other words, you don't just give a gift to anyone without any without any thought about it. As a matter of fact, the more you value them, the more you try to work on and give them the best gift, the perfect gift. The text says that they gave three gifts. One was gold. Gold was at that time, and still it is at this time, one of the most valuable commodities that exist. Amen. I don't know too many people who turn down gold anything. Amen, somebody. You show somebody a gold watch or a gold ring, especially with some diamonds in it. Yeah, you can get some people's attention. Because it has value. In other words, they gave Jesus, and gold is normally given what kings have. Kings, that it was a gift, and it was a custom during that time that when people were guests and they came to see the king, they brought him gold. Here it is that Jesus, the King of Kings, and they had never said he was still a child, but they brought him gold, expressing the value that they saw in him. So when you and I exchange gifts, when you and I give gifts to someone that God has placed in our lives, it is you and I expressing to everybody, and especially that person, you are so valuable to me that I've shopped. Or I put a lot of time in thinking about the gift that would best speak to you how valuable you are to me. In other words, if we are, it is a reminder. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from God. And if God is the giver of all gifts, in other words, the people that he has placed in our lives that are valuable to us, it gives us a reason to give them nice gifts. Why? Because as we give them gifts, we are honoring what God has done by placing them in our lives. I don't think anybody is in our lives by accident. God allows people to come in our lives to love us, to pour into us, or either discipline us to help point us in the right direction, to help us make better decisions.
Amen.
In other words, when people God bring, and there's no accident about who God allows to, you know, God is the one who promotes and brings kings and supervisors. In other words, you got a bad supervisor that got promoted. Guess what? God is teaching you some stuff about yourself. I know it happened to me that I had a supervisor where it was stressful going to work every day. It was stressful.
Amen.
Some days I didn't want to go to work.
Amen.
I mean, I'm saved, praying and believing, but it was so stressful because there was some drama.
Amen.
But God fixed it. That to fix me, because God had to do some stuff with me. Amen.
Amen.
How to persevere and how to pray through the situation. That when you're in your greatest trial, that's when your praise ought to be at its highest. That's when you ought to be lifting up God the most, because greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world.
Amen. Yes, yes.
Amen.
Then you pray for her.
Yeah.
Amen.
And God empowered me and delivered me and promoted me and shifted my situation, that even when that person became ill and almost died with an aneurysm, God had me in my pulpit and at Third Baptist praying for that person, that God would heal her, God would deliver her, and she lived and she came through. Guess what? Remember how Job got blessed with double? He said, the Bible says, as soon as Job prayed for his friend.
That's right.
Job was who would tell him, Job, you done sinned, Job, you done messed up. I don't know what you did to God, but the reason that you experiencing all the hell that you experiencing, because God is mad with you. No, Job, see, Job is better than me. I promise him, God, get him. Get him, God, because they don't know what they're talking about. But the Bible says that when he had a little talk with Jesus, with the Lord, God turned that thing around, and as soon as he prayed for his friends, amen. In other words, he said they were valuable enough in my life that God called me to pray for them, and God turned that thing around. Somebody said God would turn it around. Amen. So giving gifts express the value that you see in those that God, and all of us have some value.
Amen.
All of us have some good, and we got some, yeah. God, we all of us are a work in process, or am I the only one, amen? We are all a work in process. We're not perfected. God is trying to perfect us so that when he comes back, he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. So number one, gifts express the value that God allows us to see in others. Point two, gifts express our love for those that God has placed in our life. Our love. Look at what Jesus did in the very beginning. God so loved the world that he gave. John 3:16. That was probably the first Bible verse that everybody learned other than Jesus' well.
Praise the Lord.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why did he do that? He loved us. So when you and I are giving a gift or receiving a gift, you know there's some love attached to the gift. Amen. That God has placed somebody in your life and they loved you enough to say to you, I love you, and I love you so much, I want to bless you with this gift. Because you're valuable to me, and I also want to let you know I love you. The second thing that the wise men gave them, and the text doesn't say that there were three wise men. We don't know how many wise men there were. All we know that there were some wise men that came from the east. Some assume that there were three wise men because each one of them had a gift. Mm-hmm. And so since there were only three gifts given, they assumed that there were only three, but the text doesn't really say that. But the second gift that they gave was frankincense. Frankincense was used in worship and sacrifice. Kind of like I know y'all don't know nothing about that. What's that stuff people burn? Incense. Yeah, incense. Y'all don't, we burn candles now, but incense back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, back in the day. Yeah, but incense is used to in worship. What does that mean? There was an expression of love. That incense is used with deities and worship. And so they recognized the deity of Jesus. And they were expressing their love. See, if God loved you and me, you and I ought to also be saying we love him back.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, somebody.
So true.
Amen. And so if God loved us, we are loving him back. And the gifts that are exchanged are an example of the expressions of love from one to another. Because God, remember, God loves us so much, he says, I'm not going to let bad happen to you. Because we were on our way to being forever separated from God. But God says, I'm going to fix this thing so that you will be with me forever. He says, I love you so much, I'm not going to let nothing happen to you.
That's right.
You know how powerful love is. There have been incidences, and I probably have said this before, that a child was trapped under a car. And a mother lifted the car up off her child. That's how powerful love is.
Amen.
Love is so powerful that it sent Jesus to the cross. Oh, Jesus. He said it sent Jesus to the cross for you and me. That's how much love is, how powerful love is.
Amen.
It's about sacrifice. In other words, when you express love, you're willing to sacrifice whatever you need to sacrifice to express that love through the gift that you give. Because sometimes you don't even have to go to the mall to give a gift.
That's good.
Amen.
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 Give somebody a smile. Mm. Oh, say it. Give somebody a I love you.
Random.
Yeah, just random acts of kindness. I was in the grocery store, not even doing a honey-do list. She didn't even send me no honey-do list. I just saw the need. I just went in. I guess I must have been hungry too. But I went on in the grocery store. And I was shopping. And as I got some eggs and I got some yogurt or whatever, I was passing by the ice cream thing. And I said, let me see if they got my baby's ice cream. I looked at Brian, they went looking for it. I had looked at it in another store, they didn't have it. But this store had, I'm going to surprise her tonight when she get home tonight. Because she was upset because Brian ate the whole thing. I don't know. He lost his mind. It was so good. He just lost his mind, ate the whole thing. I said, let me get my baby some ice cream. And she said, oh, ain't you sweet. Oh, yeah. That's what love does. It doesn't have to cost a whole lot. You don't have to jump on somebody and beat them up and take the TV from them or take whatever it is. No, your love can be expressed in so many ways. So number one, gift giving expresses the value. of who God has placed in your life. Number two, gift giving expresses what?
Love.
The love that you have for those God has placed in your life. In other words, say, just shout out, God, I love who you placed in my life. Amen. And if they're not in a loving mode right now, God, yeah, fix me until I'm able to love them until they get to where they need to be. Amen. Love requires sacrifice. Then thirdly, and I'm out of here. Gifts God has placed in your life. When we give gifts, we're saying thank you for being you. Some people don't have to be who they are. I know I'm hard to live with. Amen. I'm glad she didn't say amen. But first of all, I know I'm not perfect. Amen. I got some issues. I'm still a work in process. But the third gift that they gave was mirth. It was usually preparing people for death and burial. Think about it. Jesus, as a child, was given a gift preparing him for his future, his destiny, to be sacrificed for you and I. And yet, as a result of understanding that, we ought to be able to say thank you. That's what gratitude is saying thank you. Because God didn't have to be good to us, but he does.
Amen.
I wish I had some. How can I say that he's doing it every time he wakes me up in the morning? So thank you. Every time he heals my body when I'm sick, it's another time for me to say thank you. Every time that he puts food on my table, it's another time for me to say thank you. Every time I wake up and I got a roof over my head, it's another time for me to say thank you. But every time I wake up and I'm still in my right mind with a reasonable portion of health and strength, it's another time for me to say thank you, God. So when I think about the fact that God was preparing him and God has placed people in our lives, and we got to learn how to be thankful for. Sometimes they have to speak truth to us, even when we don't want to hear it. Don't have any witnesses in here. Anybody can be honest and say that sometimes people had to speak some truths to us that we really didn't want to hear, but it was what was good for us. At that moment, whatever we were facing, whatever challenges, anybody ever been hard-headed like me?
Amen.
And sometimes, Mama and them, you said a hard head will, make a soft behind. Amen. We didn't understand it then, but when we got in trouble, we understood exactly what they were saying. We understood exactly what they were trying to keep us from. That's why we ought to just pause every now and then for everybody that God has placed in our lives who were trying to tell us the right thing, who were trying to point us in the right direction, who were trying to keep us on the straight and the narrow, and say, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, all that you spoke to me through the people that you placed in my life.
Yes.
There's a story about a person who died, or when he died, he had a son, and that son died, and when he died, the man died. He, in his will, he left all of his inheritance, and people had an opportunity to bid on every item. But as people were bidding, they would all bid on everything except the portrait of the son. One person after another person, they bid. They wanted all the other stuff that the man had, but they didn't want the portrait of the son. Finally, one person came and bid, and he bid it on everything, including the portrait of the son. And the will says that whoever takes the son, gets the son, gets everything. Anybody who gets the son gets everything. Mm-hmm. Oh, let me say that again. Anybody who gets Jesus, who is the Son of God, you ought to say, thank you, Lord, because I get Jesus. Now I'm entitled to everything that you have for me. Can I get some witnesses in here that can give God a gratitude and thank you? Because I could have left it on the table. I could have said I wanted the stuff. But I realized who the giver of the gift is. And when I realize that when I get the Son, I get everything that he wants me to have. And I thank you for it. Every morning, every day, I thank you for the Jesus. I thank you for your Son, because it is because of him that I have life and I have it more abundantly. How about you? Where are you on your journey? Have you tried to get all the gifts that God has except his Son? Don't miss out on trying to get everything else, because when all the other things, and miss the real gift, which is Jesus. He gave first. And every time that we give gifts, not just at Christmas, but all year through, we are imitating what God has done. I think it's Galatians says, whatever good you do for others, God will make happen for you. As a matter of fact, we just finished this series about generosity. Being generous is being open-hearted like God. Anybody know that God is open-hearted toward you and I?
Amen.
He pours out his blessings in our lives, often sometimes not because we've been perfect, but because we've been obedient. The more we obey, the more the Lord blesses. He's a giver.
Thank you, Lord.
And he's a giver of every gift. I know our children are a gift God gave to us.
Amen.
Sometimes they don't always do what we ask them to do. Sometimes they're going, we say you should go right, they're going left, amen. But they steal our gift.
Amen.
And they say, I wouldn't give nothing for them. Amen. Why? Because God set them and trusted them into our care. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. That as we look at the tradition of giving gifts, we see in Scripture